Well, hello everyone. We are on part 60 of our Red Letter series. Unfortunately, I forgot to turn the video on at the beginning of this message. So I did get it on later. So for the beginning here, I'm just going to run through my notes here and try to remember as much as I can everything that we covered. And then we'll transition into the regular video here in a little bit. The subject today is Luke 22, verses 24 through 27. We do have chapter 24 to go yet in Luke, and then, of course, we'll be moving on to the Gospel of John. Today, though, our conversation will revolve around these particular four verses in Luke, where it reads that there was also a dispute among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest. And he said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors." In other words, they get the benefit of those under them and their labor. But he says, "Not so among you. On the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs as he who serves. For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table?" He is referring to how the world looks at it, and it's a and then he says here, "Yet I am among you as the one who serves." So clearly, Yeshua is turning the tables on how we, as fallen individuals, look at things. Truly, Yeshua was and is the ultimate servant. Right? I mean, he's the ultimate servant. He's also fully God. His power created and sustains the entire universe. In our way of thinking, he is elevated, and for good reason, to a degree that we can't compare anything in this life to, because he created all of it. He stands above it in complete and total control. All things, the word tells us, are under his feet. He stands above it. Everything, in other words, is in complete subjection to him. Me, you, governments, the weather, wind, and the rain, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea. Everything obeys his command. The forces of the universe are held together by the power of the vibrations of his voice. So what I'm trying to describe here is ultimate, supreme, and complete power. And in this world's carnal way of thinking and behaving, that type of position of power would be used to gain control over people, to use their labor, to consume the benefit of everything that they do for themselves, for the person in power. I mean, look at our world. You know, in this world, as we achieve ranking, if you will, in life, we call it success. We are able to be served more and more, aren't we? As we get more money, as we get, we have more people that are able to provide services to us, and we go out to dinner more. Even in a middle income kind of thing, we still see that dynamic at work, and it gets even more as people rise, if you will, in ranking in this world. And you know, Yeshua acknowledges this attitude when he's talking here in verse 27, because speaking about that attitude is when he asks, "Who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves?" And he answers himself, because the question is rhetorical. Is it not he who sits at the table? Of course it is. He's making the point that That is how the world thinks and behaves. But then he drops this bomb on them, and explains that it's completely opposite of our carnal way of thinking with him, because he says, because listen, the one that created all things, all that I was describing, he's over all things. He has supreme authority over all things, all power. The universe hangs together because of his power. We live and breathe and have our being because of his power. And that one, he says, that's me. And I am among you as one who serves. And I've submitted that we have to get that. That needs to go deep. It needs to, we need to stop, and we need to ponder the tremendous impact of that. And there's kind of, you know, think about two sides of this. First, we have to understand the depth of the fact that Yeshua is God. He's the highest of high. He's the King of kings. But he lives as a servant, not as we might perceive him by comparing him to how this world perceives the use of power. We can't put him in that box. We can't view him as occupying that office and wielding that power in the same way that we would look at anyone else in this world in power. We've got to let that sink in. Our perception of the position is flawed. Our perception of any positions, ranking and such, classes and all of that, it's broken. And I know you can't see me now, but if you could just imagine, if you take one hand and put it up high, and you say that this is Yeshua up high, and then then take your other hand and put it lower, and say, you know, this is a servant down here. And what we tend to believe is that Yeshua lowered himself down to the level of a servant. And while that is correct in our thinking, in other words, because the world views servants down low, then we think of Yeshua coming down to that level. But I'm going to submit to you that is not what he is saying. It is not what he has shown us in his word. It is not what he has shown us in his life. Because the exact opposite is true. Yeshua is not going to be lowered, not in any way, shape, or form. He is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. He is God. And he is not lowering himself. He will not be lowered. What he is doing is he is elevating the office of servanthood. It's not Yeshua coming down to it. It is him raising it up. It is him elevating that office of servitude to the office of rulership. You got to get a hold of that. You got to think that through. And so, secondly, he wants us to understand that our calling to be converted is to be converted into servants like he is. We have to turn our thinking on its ear, just like he's showing these disciples here. We have to change. So repentance is nothing but changing, turning from one way of life, which is selfish, to selflessness. We have to turn, we have to convert our ways to God's ways, and the bottom line is God is a servant. And so central here is moving from a selfish focus to an unselfish, servant-oriented focus. And when that occurs, you are elevated by those that you serve. Not the other way around. You get that? That's why it is that Yeshua is elevated to the highest of heights. Why? Because he serves more. He created everything. His power upholds everything. He serves all. He serves everything. He serves the universe he created by holding it together. He serves this earth and all of its systems. He serves all of us. He created us. And then we fall and he comes and he serves us to redeem us. He stands above us all because he serves all. Our carnal nature wants this position. It wants honor. It wants prestige. We talk about classes and buckets and groups of people and all of these things. And for this message, I've kind of bundled all of that up. These ideas of position and honor and prestige and classes and buckets and I'm just going to call it titles. Okay, titles, levels of distinction, where we might not actually have a title like president or CEO. We still have these areas where we think we fit in different places. And so I'm going to call that titles. And we can fall into the trap of wanting a better title. In this world, we think we are elevated by how many we can get to serve us. But the opposite is true. We are elevated by how many people we serve. And Yeshua teaches this to us over and over. Here in John 13, we read Yeshua, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he had come from God and was going to God, that he was God, right? What did he do? He rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. And so the question is, are you pursuing a title or a towel? Are you pursuing a title or a towel? As we look back on our text, we see it's very interesting that we can see this contrast even here and in a bunch of other passages. Well, I could put them up, but there's this contrasting difference between the view of the disciples, which represented the view of all of us in this world, and the view of Yeshua. The disciples' focus was on titles. They wanted to know who would be greatest. They wanted to know where they would fit in. They wanted to know how many people would be above them and how many people below them. And they wanted to know what their title was. See, they wanted to be lifted up to see how many would be above or below them. Yet Yeshua's focus was on a towel. The towel of service. To bend down and be a servant and wash another's feet. It must have really disappointed them to hear this, because they just didn't get it. They were trying to be lifted up, and Yeshua was trying to get them to bend down. Last week, I ended the message with the quote, "He is no fool that gives up what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." You remember that? So, are we desiring a position? Are we desiring a title we can't keep, or a towel that we cannot lose? See, if we're not careful, we can wake up one day and realize that life is slipping away with nothing of eternal value to show for it. So here's some food for thought. God brought you into this world to advance the kingdom of God. Instead, Are you spending your life establishing your own little kingdom? You know, working on your own little kingdom that will pass away and be quickly forgotten. Are you all about building your name up rather than God's? Because we're called and destined to run the race, to win. But are we content to just sit in the stands? Yeshua has gone to prepare a place for us in his kingdom. Is that the one you're building? Or are you building sandcastles that are just going to be washed away? See, there's an abundant life that God has called us to that comes from serving others and building that way. That's abundant life. Actually, the word eternal, when we talk about eternal life, you know, that also means abundance. It's abundant life. And I think that sometimes we just trade all of that abundance for fool's gold and trinkets. Okay, and now is when I remembered to turn on the video, so we'll transition to that. God wants to place an anointing on your life. Are you choosing instead to live in the power of your own strength? I believe if we get in a quiet place, guys, and we reflect on who Yeshua is and how he modeled life for us, that we can get a vision for how life is supposed to be. The abundant, eternal life that God has for us. And we can get in better alignment with that when we begin to understand who he is and how we are to pattern our lives after him. How we are to align our lives with him and his character. We can put away the titles. And we can pick up a towel. And in doing so, we can step over into the abundant life that only comes from serving God's purpose for life. What if we could leave here today with a renewed focus, a sense of purpose, a completely different ambition? You know? What are we striving for? A new lease on the purpose of life. Do you want a title or a towel? Can you give up what you cannot keep to get that which cannot be lost? I want to share three things with us this morning that I think can help us to better envision this path so that we can embrace this with confidence. Security, surrender, and service. Security, surrender, and service. Let's start with security. And that is knowing your place in God. It's vital. That's why it's first. When your identity in God is sure, and he is the one, then, think it through. You identify with him. You are his child, right? You're under his care. And you understand who he is. He's the ruler of the universe. He holds it all together anyway. Whether you acknowledge whether you're under his care or not, you are. And so when you come to that complete realization where it moves to your heart that you are his and he is there for you and you are secure in that, I ask you, what else do you need? What else do you need? There is nothing that he can't and does not provide for you. You are complete in that. And so we have to accept that that's what God says about us. That it's what he says about you. And so we struggle with this, well, I've sinned. But listen, Yeshua, not you, it's Yeshua, that declares you righteous before the Father. Right? It's his righteousness, not yours. When you engage in this process, you aren't perfect. But here's what Yeshua says. He says, listen, I got you covered. I got you covered. When you are mine and the Father looks at you, He does not see your sin. He sees my righteous robe. He doesn't see, that's what He sees. I got you covered. That's what He says. And so in that, there is this place in God which in which you don't need anything. You are complete in that sense. So because of that, what station are you striving for? Whose esteem are you looking to garner? Why do you need that? You see? You see where I'm going? That we strive in our funky thinking to come up, to be esteemed. And what Yeshua is telling you is, hey, I got you covered. When the Father looks at you, He sees my righteousness. There's nothing higher. But you see, we think we have to have God and this. Or we got God and we got to be better. And we got to do this. Or we have God and. But Luke 12:25 says, which of you can by worrying add one inch to your stature? We can't add anything to what God has declared about us. And what He has declared is more than sufficient. We need nothing else. Period. It's not taking away anything I've ever said about growing, about, you know, being obedient and establishing yourself in the law of God and moving. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about how God sees you and your security in Him. Right in Luke 22, just after the text that we read earlier, after He had said these things to them, He said this to them, when I sent you without money bag, knapsack, and sandals, did you lack anything? When I sent you out, did you lack anything? They said, no, nothing. Didn't lack a thing. See, we have the security knowing what God has declared about us. He has declared His righteousness on us. We don't have to fight for title. We don't have to fight for it. We already possess and share the highest title that there is. Righteousness with Yeshua. And so what we get into is this thing of comparing ourselves among ourselves. Do you guys remember that verse? We read that. Those who compare among themselves are what? Not wise. That's not good. Rather, what we are to do is we are to look at Yeshua's righteousness. And that's the righteousness that when He shares His Spirit with us and His Spirit comes to dwell within us, that righteousness is in us, dwelling there. And so when we compare ourselves among ourselves, we get into this trap of positioning ourselves in that. But what I'm saying is our position is in God. Luke 13. Yeshua's words again. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you're not willing. See, we're under His wings. That's our security. Deuteronomy 33, the eternal God is your refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. Colossians 2, for in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power. Now I know a lot of us, me included, in different times, read things like that and say, well, yeah, but you know, God, I've done this, I've done that, and you know, I'm not good enough, yada, yada, yada. And that's true. You know, we mess up. But what did I say? It's not our righteousness that we're talking about right now. It's Yeshua's righteousness that is in us through the power of His Spirit. It's His service, once again, in you. Serving again, right? That's why He's God. His service is greater. And so, you know what? Even if you don't understand it, even if you can't wrap your head around, well, how does that work? It doesn't matter. What I'm asking you to do in this line of thinking is just to accept that which God declares about you. That you are complete in Him. That you do not need anything or anyone else to make you whole. If His Spirit is in you, that Spirit is whole. It's righteous. It's His service in you, and you don't need anything else. And so it is futile then, isn't it, to go around looking for how you might advance yourself higher because somebody over here thinks well of you, or this person over here thinks well of you, when the truth is, when God the Father looks at you, He sees righteousness. Isn't that enough? It better be, because there isn't anything better. Right? You can't get any higher than that. So the first thing in getting to this point of sacrificial service is knowing your place in God. Because when you do, you don't need recognition of anything else. You don't have to strive for acceptance or validation. Christ was perfectly comfortable being seen in this world as a servant because He was and is secure in His relationship with the Father. See, it's a quiet peace that allows you to be humble and serving and able to give without any even need for recognition of it or anything in return. Why? Because you already have the greatest thing. You don't need their thanks. You don't need their esteem. You have it from God. Right? So security. Knowing your place in God is important in your development as a servant. So the next step is surrender. And I wrote here, losing yourself in God. Losing yourself in God. We see this in John 13 and verse 12. He said when He'd washed their feet, He'd taken His garments, He sat down again, and He said to them, "Do you know what I've done to you?" And He says, "You call Me teacher and Lord, and you say well, for so I am." We're talking about surrender. So what's His point? Well, because Yeshua was secure in His place with God the Father, what did He do here? He laid down His title. He laid it down. He said, "You call Me teacher and Lord, you say well, for so I am." And it's just like, so what? Greater than that is the fact that I picked up this towel. That I am your servant. That is the greater thing. And our nature just battles against this kind of thinking. Because it doesn't serve our flesh, does it? Instead of looking for whose feet we can wash, we think about how we can elevate ourselves and have more people serving us and washing our feet. Surrender is realizing that nothing that we build on our own will stand. that trying to build our own kingdom is futile? Are we building on the sand or the rock? The rock, of course, is Christ. Surrender is realizing that Yeshua is serving us with His righteousness, and that our response to that is for that same service to flow out of us. To surrender our pursuits of title for ourselves to responding to the service that He is doing in us and letting that flow out to other people. We surrender to His service by losing ourselves in that process. We lose ourselves to His service in us that flows out. We give up title. We give up our kingdom, right, to His kingdom. We're to put down our title and lose ourselves, which gives us perspective to this familiar teaching of Yeshua, where He said, "For whoever desires to save his life will lose it." See? Whoever loses his life for my sake, for my service, for my pursuits, he's going to save it. And you could correlate that right along with what we said last week. You're gonna give up that which you can't keep to get that which cannot be lost. That's surrender. That's losing yourself in service to others, just like Yeshua did for you. And in doing so, what are you doing? What you're doing is you're embracing that, and you're actually stepping in with Christ and occupying that office of servanthood with Him. He's not coming down here. Right? His kingdom is a kingdom of servants. We rise in stature not by being served, but by how many we serve. By losing ourselves, our office, our title, we join with Yeshua in His. When you lose your life, when you surrender your life, you actually gain it, because you are combining it with what? The source of life. See, if you try to save your life, you try to build your own kingdom, it won't last. Why won't it last? Because you have no source. It's one thing, I'm going to get off on a bunny trail, but that's one thing that we miss when we don't understand the whole concept of an eternal soul, or, well, I shall say, the lack thereof. We don't possess the source when we are apart from Christ for life. We don't have it. So if you are building a kingdom apart from that source, it's exactly what it's saying here, that life, you will lose it. It's worthless. But if you build with the source of life, that source never, it's eternal, and it will never fail. And you will find life. Where do you find life? You find life in the source. And you're not it. I'm not it. Where am I?
Lost.
Yes. Well, that's what I was saying. You lose your life because you don't have the source. So, when we have the security of knowing who we are in God, what our place in God is, and we're completely secure in that, then we're able to totally surrender. Right? Because it's, you're safe. It's a surrender is not to an enemy. The surrender is is to a place where you have total security. So we lay down our title, our kingdom, our desire for position and such, and we lose ourselves by responding to the service of Yeshua in our lives and joining Him with service to others. And understanding that as we do that, we are actually engaging in real life. Real eternal life. That what we're building and what we're sowing into is eternal. It's not temporal. See? We talk about building the kingdom. That's it. Because you're sowing into life. What we lay down is nothing. We think we're building something and giving something up, but we're not giving up anything. Because ironically, in the end, we wind up getting that which we desire by giving up the pursuit of it. Right? Losing ourselves in God saves us from ourselves. Lastly, then, fulfilling ourselves with God. Fulfilling that which is in us in God. Being secure in God gives us the confidence to fully surrender to God because we see His monumental service to us. And so this then allows us to be free. Right? Freedom to serve others and therefore fulfilling our very purpose. Yeshua poured out His blood. He poured out His life to redeem us. And after washing the disciples' feet, He said, "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." Guys, the only thing that will fulfill us is doing that which we were created to do. Everybody walks around this earth searching. We've all done it. Looking for that thing that, you know, makes us feel better, makes us feel fulfilled, you know, searching after a better job, a better this or that. We, you know, chase the American dream. You know, we get this thing or that thing, or we pursue this hobby or whatever, and it never fills it, does it? Ever. Never does. Never does. We try and fill that void with all sorts of things. Seminars and all sorts of stuff. We search and we search. Yet Yeshua said plainly, "Don't let this be missed on you. I have set you an example. Do as I have done." And as we look at the history of Yeshua in the New Testament, as He dealt with Israel in the Old, one thing is completely clear, all the time, consistent, over and over again. He says to us, "Do as I have done." What has He done? Served. In every way, shape, and form. I can't think of really anything where that's not what He was doing. That's not what His goal was. That's not what His desire was for the best and the good of the people that He was serving. He poured Himself out to us, for you and for me. Notice what He said here. He told us in Matthew 5 that we are the salt of the earth. It says, if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It's then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. What do we have to do? What do we do with salt to make it have a purpose? What do? We pour it out. We pour it out. And we're the salt.
We are to be poured out. Just like Yeshua was poured out to be servants as He is. And if we aren't fulfilling our purpose, if the salt loses its flavor, if the salt is going after its own title, its own kingdom, and not being poured out, what's it good for? To be thrown out and trampled underfoot. What did He say? If you go to save your life, you're going to lose it. If you build your own kingdom, it's going to come to nothing. Are you building on the sand? Or are you building on the rock? How many analogies do we need? Do you want a title or a towel? As the begotten children of God, with Christ living in us, having His righteousness having been applied in our stead, we can have the security of knowing our place in God is sure, and so therefore we can safely, surely, and without worry surrender ourselves to serving the one that serves us. So how do we do that? How do we do that? Well, Yeshua told us. This is familiar, but I'm going to read it to you anyway. Matthew 25. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." He says, "For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." And the righteous will answer him in saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, and thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you as a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick?" Never been sick or in prison? And he said to them, "Surely I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me." So that's our purpose. To follow in the footsteps of Yeshua, to follow His example as the ultimate servant. We talk about repentance, we talk about conversion, we have lots of these religious words. But simply, repentance is just turning. It's just turning and changing from our ways. We gotta rethink this whole thing. You know, our title, our kingdom, our selfishness has to be rejected. And we have to turn towards embracing a selfless life like Yeshua. To be of service. That is the highest office that there is. So we can have security in knowing our place with God. We don't need to be esteemed by men. We have all of our security in Him. Therefore, it is safe to surrender to Him, to lose ourselves in Him, to lose our selfishness. We don't need it. It is our enemy. Only in service then will we find fulfillment in life, in true life, in eternal life. One of the definitions of that word eternal is abundant. It's abundance. It's a lot. And that's the abundant life, the eternal life that God wants us to have. And that is the office that Yeshua inhabits. He didn't lower Himself to a servant. He's trying to explain to us in graphic terms that the servant attitude is elevated, that's what He is. So, are you ready to lay down your title for a towel? Are we ready to be towel-toting teachers? Towel-toting hairdressers? Towel-toting entrepreneurs, towel-toting moms and dads and brothers and sisters, towel-toting members of the kingdom of God. I hope so. Because I submit that when we lay down the title and pick up a towel, everything changes. Amen.